a new episode of Sip the Sauce. I'm your host, Lydia, and today I have with me my sister, Allison.
Hello!
So, the title of this episode is Old Millennial versus Young Millennial, because my sister and I are 10 years apart and we see everything different. So, grab a drink and let's chat. So, let's jump right in. What do you think a millennial is?
1995 is probably like the end of it, maybe, because I just, anyone younger than me, I'm like, oh my god, you baby. So I definitely think it's 1995 to probably 1980, you know, I would assume maybe older, I don't know.
Okay, so I did some research, and there's two different time ranges that people think, and they don't agree on it. The first one is 1980s to 2000.
I feel, why are we including anybody born in 2000?
And then the other one is 1977 to 1995.
Beginning of it?
1977.
Oh, 1977. I feel like that's
a little old.
That's a little old. Like,
those are the Gen Xers we don't like to talk about.
Yeah, that's not, I would not say that. Because they're like in their 40s or something now, so.
Okay, so.
So again, the, 80 to 80 like 95.
80 to 95 is what we'll call.
Yes.
But what they say is that how you can tell who is a millennial is essentially that their parent is a baby boomer. Our parents are baby boomers, so we are both millennials. I'm old. I'm 84, so I'm at the beginning. Not the very beginning, obviously, but I'm towards the beginning. And you're 95, so you are towards the end.
I am the very end.
Yeah, so that's why this is old versus young millennial. When you were young, there was no streaming, but by end of high school...
Oh, yeah.
For you, there was, like, streaming galore.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I can go back and say, I remember when I first heard what this strange process was called Netflix. Like, you make a queue, and they send you DVDs, and then you gotta send it back to get the next one. Like, what the hell was that?
Yes.
And I remember I was in college, and it was my senior year in college, so 2007, and I started noticing one of my roommates, he always had these red envelopes around the house, and I'm like, what is this red envelope business? And he was like, it's Netflix. And I was like, what the fuck is Netflix? And I like went online and I was like, this is interesting. And then I think I've been a Netflix user since 2007. And the DVDs, like I remember when you were in, 2007, what you were?
Seventh grade.
So that was us like arguing about what was going to be in the queue.
Yes.
Like I remember.
It was Hot Topics.
You would like get into my queue somehow. And I'd be like,
I would shuffle what could be next.
And I was like, who the hell? And I'm like, Allison.
Yes.
You are my queue.
Yeah, no. I think that it's actually really awesome. Like, of course, there's many pluses to having a sister 10 years older than you. But also because my age group, they're like, oh yeah, I only know about Netflix because of the app. Like, because of Netflix itself. And I'm like, no, I have had Netflix when you would send the DVDs, and I remember the whole fight about the queue, and like, what was fifth down, and at least move it up to the fourth, and da-da-da, and I remember fighting about that, and they're like, they had DVDs, and I'm like, yeah, that was back in the day, but of course, they were in seventh grade, they weren't out there, was there Google, I don't know, yeah, they weren't out there Googling, like, things as a seventh grader, they didn't have anyone older than them to show them that, if they were the firstborn of their family, which, like, most of my friends are, so it's like, yeah, no, I remember Netflix from way back when.
So that also goes into, like, social media. I grew up with no social media. I remember when Facebook, so I was a freshman in college, so 2003 if it was the beginning of the semester, 2004 if it was the end, and AIM was out there, so I was aiming with people, and I had met this guy, and he was at Appalachian State University East Coast. And he was like, hey, are you on Facebook? And I was like, book what? Book of Faces? Like, guess who? What is this? And he was like, it's a whole thing. He explained it to me. And I went online and I was like, I can't get in. He goes, oh, your college has to be enrolled in Facebook for you to be able to be part of Facebook. So I remember when Facebook was only for college students, and it was glorious. It was amazing. Now everyone's Nana and auntie and third cousin from their father's second removed family is on Facebook, and everyone's commenting on
everybody's
everything.
Got an opinion.
I mean, I'm sorry, I would love for Facebook to go back to just college students, because
or like an age restriction.
Like for me personally, I use it to stay in touch with all my friends from college, because I went to school in Iowa. A lot of them are still in the Midwest, or they've moved across the country, and so that's how we stay connected. I don't really, you know, Facebook engage with anybody I see around town, because I text them or call them if I need something. So I miss the much smaller Facebook. And like growing up, any of the stupid shit I did, none of it was put on Facebook or anything. The most advanced thing we had was a Zynga. Do you know what Zynga
is? I don't even know what that is.
Zynga was a live journal. So you would journal, but journal on your computer, and people could subscribe to your live journal, and like that's how you kept in the know.
So it's kind of like a Twitter.
No, because tweets can only be, 150 characters.
Yeah.
A dramatic 12-year-old girl could write 5 computer pages.
Oh, God.
Of feelings. And so...
And yeah, now I know why it's only like 150 characters.
So you take that Zynga and then you tie it to your MySpace. So then you got your...
MySpace could do that?
Yes. So not only were you on the MySpace, you click in, you had your intro music, your top 5 people.
You had your background.
Your background, you had your feed, and then it was like, what's going on in this person's head? Click, click. Let me go check their Zynga.
Oh, my God.
MySpace, I miss it. I thought it was legit.
I do miss MySpace. I thought that was actually super cool.
I thought, because I think Justin Timberlake bought it. I thought when he bought it, he was going to come back with it. Maybe he's got some irons in the fire, but I'm like, come on, MySpace.
Because it was a good idea. MySpace. It was literally your
designed
space
to
do. Designed to do anything that you wanted to. It felt free. I had an AIM account, but never used. I just had it because it was on the computer and I created one day. But I never used it. Then there was, I had a Yahoo, I think. That's like how like it all started. Because like, you know, Yahoo is like one of the older ones. And after I had that, it progressed to a Gmail.
Tell me, what was the original Gmail?
Oh, God. Okay, so I created this in, sixth grade. It was cutestuff.allison. Oh, God. Gmail me. But, yeah, it's so embarrassing to, like, type out. And then I think, like, I got to a certain age and, like, it was a computer class and they were like, okay, guys, we need to create a new email for you guys because the teacher knew all of ours was, like, hot stuff, 99, 69, 420, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, when you become older, that's not, that's not okay to give out to people. So we created like our Gmail account, and then that was, or like a different Gmail account, and then that was just like my first name dot last name, a number behind it. Very simple. But I did have Facebook, but then when I had, MySpace, and then when I had Facebook, that's when I started to get more people, obviously, because then everybody had it. It was after I guess they
lift the ban.
They lifted it, and then it was free to everybody. And then so little children like me, I was a sophomore in high school when I got a Facebook.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I think it was a sophomore or freshman. So, I mean, to be honest, it's not even that long ago.
It's not. That's so funny. I feel like Facebook has been around forever. It's because, you know, everyone's Nana has to comment on everything.
Yeah. Now I don't even use Facebook. Like, I have it. I don't have an Instagram. I don't have a Twitter. I don't have anything, which is weird for me as a millennial. Everybody has everything. And so I meet people and they're like, okay, what's your Instagram? And I'm like, I don't have one. Okay, well then what's your Twitter? I don't have one. And I'm like, I have Snapchat, which not even a lot of people have, because a lot of people have outgrown it. And then I have Facebook, but again, Facebook is, like, the family-friendly app. It's like, yeah. Well, yeah, I have a Facebook, but I don't want to give you that, because that's what my Nana is. Like, you know, that's what my mom and dad are. I'm not going to give you my Facebook. I'll give you, like, you know, my Instagram, so.
I suggest you get an Instagram. I have Facebook. I tried Snapchat. That was too involved. I know, too much. So, I have Facebook, and I have Instagram, and I have to say, out of the two of them, I'm a bigger fan of Instagram than Facebook, because I like photos, I like looking at photos, and it's easy to like scroll through. And
yeah, I mean, I think it's a better platform for sure.
So now let's go to this next topic, which I'm sure will be interesting because we have argued about this before.
Oh gosh.
How do you feel, and I'll let you start, when people say that millennials, young millennials, they say millennials, but I know they're talking about young millennials, are a softer, more emotional group of folks. Get your emotions together before you tell me
that. I am. I agree that we are more in tune with our emotions. We have been taught that your personality can consist of a lot of things. But I think that yes, I think we're emotional, but I also think it's because we've been allowed, like I said, we've been allowed to be ourselves, we've been allowed to be individuals, and to be okay with being that, and for everybody to say, you're doing your best, you're doing good, and therefore, it's like, yeah, don't be killing my vibe, like, I'm over here, I'm over here, like, bopping to, like, my own music, and you don't need to really make your issues my issues, like, that's a you problem, not a me problem. And, like, let's keep it that way. And so I think that, like, there's sometimes emotional barriers that get set up. I also think that then people become overly emotional and really invested in stuff. And then they get, like, really hurt, like, butt hurt about things. So I just think it all comes from passion, honestly. I think it comes from, like, millennials having lots of, like, passion for things. And a little bit of, like... It's not arrogance, but it's like...
Oh, it's arrogance.
It's arrogance.
Let me just put that. It's arrogance.
It's like,
entitlement, arrogant.
It's like, what do they always say? Like, you know, like, children are your future. Like, let us guide you. Like, let us show you that there is not... Like, you don't have to be the way you are. Like, the way the world is going and how all of our, like, leaders are. It's like, we can be different. Let us be in charge. And I'm not saying, like let us now. Like, we're children still. But I can't wait for, like, my age group to be older and to see what they're capable of. To see if, hopefully, they don't, like... just fall right into the same shit we've been doing forever. They don't grow up and forget their roots.
So when your people are in charge, I'm gonna be able to take a day off because I was triggered on my way to work.
If you need an emotional health day, that is up to you to choose how to spend it, okay?
Because I think that...
I think that's an amazing idea. Yes.
They're not personal days.
They're not personal days. It's not like I'm going to do something personal. I'm taking care of my mind. You need me to be, like, mentally healthy. And if I'm, like, not feeling it, like, I'm better to just, like, stay at home and to recharge rather than to, like, come into work and be a bitch to everybody and kill the work vibe that everybody else had. Because everybody else came to work on and ready. And then I'm just being, like, the sourpuss, you know? And
so, if you're going to be a sourpuss, you take a you day.
You stay at home, yeah.
I think that's, like, my biggest thing with younger millennials and the generation under is the word trigger. Like, everything triggers them. you, the ones under you. Trigger, trigger, trigger. Like, oh, I saw this and it triggered me. Oh, I saw that and it triggered me. So-and-so told me this and it triggered me. Part of me is like, okay, we got to put on big girl panties at some point and stop letting things affect us so much. Like, if you're going to tell me you're going to put up an emotional boundary, then okay, put your boundary up, but then you also got to get a thicker skin and let some shit roll off your back.
Yeah, and I just
that
think...
is just not what happens today. People feel everything and feel like they need to react to everything. And I don't know if it's just me or the age group that I'm in, but it's like, I get you do have to, you know, look for your self-care and you need to keep your mental state healthy, but not everything has to be triggering. But I read something and they said that younger millennials and those under you are more realistic of your shortcomings. So you're like, no, I'm saying you, meaning your age group, not you. You're saying
collective
like,
you.
Yeah, collective you is saying, I know I'm not good at X, Y, or Z. Who gives a fuck, you know? I know I'm not going to want to pay all my bills, so I'm going to move out of my house with my parents. I know I can only do this, so I'm not even going to try. And I feel like that's a big difference between you and I, is because you are very, I would have to say, you are very realistic of your capabilities and what your thing is. Like, you have an Allison thing, and you do you. Where me, it's in me, like, I always want to strive to be better. If I see something, I'm like, okay, I want to try that. Maybe I can do that. Maybe I can. And even if, you know, a silly... You don't think that's true?
I know I do. I'm just thinking, like, why? Why do you got to try
that? I'm always trying. Always want new stuff. I mean, like you were telling me about that guy you were talking to about me. I mean, I had a baby 7 months ago. I take piano lessons. I started a podcast. I work a full-time job. And I'm, you know, slowly remodeling my house. And it's because I feel like I need to have all of these irons in the fire at all times. Because if I'm not, then I'm being a waste of space and useless.
Which I think comes from you having more of a connection with your boomer parents that told you you could not spend a Saturday on the couch relaxing if you weren't doing something. Like, you needed to be doing something. You needed to be up early. You needed to be always making something of yourself.
Always doing something. Now, I don't, like, I think I'm overboard on some of that stuff, but I also think that's a good quality to want to continuously improve yourself, not to just be okay in your muck. Like,
you need to push yourself.
Like, there's a.
Yes, push yourself, but also, like, you should just always stay happy. So if you are happy with pushing yourself, then that's what makes you happy, then that's what you need to
do. And that's what I am.
But I have my own, like, mental issues and anxieties and depressions that stop me from just, like, functioning completely. Like, stop me from just being that go-getter all the time. And so it's, like, I'm dealing with, like, just doing small stuff is a big deal to me. Why? So it's just different. Whatever makes you happy, whatever you can handle.
Yes. So, I mean, I think that to me is the biggest difference between us. And I would probably say older millennials versus younger millennials, because the mindset is a little bit different. And I think you had it right where you said it's the older millennials' connection to our boomer parents that we have. And a lot of us are firstborns. Mm-hmm. So we all know the firstborns have the hope of the family. And like, everything is put on our shoulders. We have to be the rising star. You know, you are the, you know, all kids are important. But the first one, like, there's just a 0.5% more on that person's
plate.
It's
like you're the Superman. Like, inside your DNA is the culture of the universe.
Exactly.
Like, the seed of the universe. Kal-El. Yeah. Like, you must survive.
So.
Spread the culture.
Exactly. And so I definitely feel like mom and dad did that to me, because I've had to be so much of mom and then so much of dad. Therefore, that's why I can play the piano and redo my house all at the same time.
And they were just happy I was there. They were like, Evelyn's here. We wanted her. You She's do happy.
Happy, healthy, we're good.
We're good.
Now let's turn around and go talk to Lydia and tell her she needs to do better.
Yes, but perfect, Allison's good.
Yeah, perfect example. If Allison and I both painted a photo, or a picture, sorry, my mom would look at Allison's and say, Allison, that is so good. You did great. And then she I would roll. Look at mine and she goes, that's really great. But you know, you could have... to make it, you know, insert, to make it better. And if anybody else looked at it, they would say, both of them are great, but I'm the firstborn. I have to do that much more. I have to be that, you know. I have, there's always a but. But
they probably just expect it from me. Like, if anything, that's probably not good on me because they're saying, like, I'm happy with whatever Allison produces. But Lydia, we have standards for her. We know how smart she is. We know that she can be more. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, you have the pressure, but you're also the smart one. Like,
but don't you feel like, I've always thought, like, if they would have had those same expectations of you, do you think you would have pushed a little harder? Because I feel like I've had those expectations on you. Like, as a sister, I'm like, you can do more, Allison.
Yeah, and I know, and it's contributed to some of my anxieties as an adult.
It's contributed to you prospering also. Like, if I have to take on the anxiety you have, I also get to do some of the wins.
Very true. That is true.
Everyone heard that. Very true. So I think overall, like, there maybe isn't that big of a difference between old millennials and new millennials when it comes to maybe like pop culture and technology and stuff like that. But I think there's...
it's like a downward slope, if anything.
Yeah, but I think there's a big difference in our mindsets and how we go at things. Because, you know, for better or for worse, I am an overachiever and I just feel like I have to
totally
do that.
Type A.
Oh, 100%. If there's like a supercharged type A, that's what I'm on.
You know.
And you are just happy. And sometimes I wish I could just be like, whatever. But like, I could do it for like 30 minutes and then I'd be like itching like a crack addict and need to go like,
what's next?
Yeah, I need to go start a project. Yeah, but no. That's what makes me and that's what makes you you.
Yeah.
So, done with that, let's talk about something interesting again. Mm-hmm. So, I love podcasts. I listen to several different ones, radio shows on SiriusXM. I enjoy all that stuff. So, I've been hearing one of the ones I listen to talk about this guy, and I doubt you've heard of it, and I think you're going to find this interesting. It's a man in California from another country. I don't know all the details. I'm just going off of hearsay here on this. And he is attractive. I heard he's a male model. And he, over the holiday season, married his sex doll legally in the state of California. And he tried to get plastic surgery for his sex doll. Mm-hmm. And the sex doll burst, and now he's like, the last update I heard on my show, the other show I listened to, he's like emotionally distraught because his sex doll is in the shop, I guess, and I assume it's like one of those super expensive
okay
ones.
I'm like, it has to be one of those like really nice ones,
but like when you put a knife to her, like guts, you know, the inner jellied stuff came
which
out.
I'm like, didn't we already know this? Like, you should have looked up your model. Like, you should have looked up, googled your model and seen what was viable for that.
It's a man married to a sex doll. I doubt he's looking up anything.
You know, I feel like I saw a show one time, Broad City. It's on Hulu. It's really hilarious. And this guy had a sex doll, And he really cared for her. Like, when they have them, like, you have to take care of the skin because the skin is, like, a silicone type. You have to take care of the skin right. You got to take care of the hair right. You have to, like, if you do apply makeup, like, there's different things that it can break down, kind of, like, how you have to take care of your dildos. It's all silicone. You can't put it in the dishwasher. Can't expose it to high heat. Can't do certain things with it. Like, it's, you take care of them in a similar way. So I feel like if you're going to spend all this money for this woman you love so much, you would at least know what her restrictions are. And you would know that about any woman. If it was a real woman, you would know what your lady's restrictions are. I feel like if you're a fake woman, and especially if you bought her, you literally could pick her out. You should know if she can't be put under the knife. Now, if he went to a surgeon who normally does work on dolls, and that's what this doctor was known for, and he fucked her up, then that's on the doctor. Because you shouldn't have fucked up my doll, because you are a doll plastic surgeon, and there are... Like, but if he took her to, like, a human... No, what? How is a human plastic surgeon gonna know how to work on a doll? So, those are my real questions, is, was this doctor a doll doctor? Because if so, then he's totally liable. Because he should have taken care of better care of his patient.
Okay. There's a lot I need to unpack here. Number one, you have no issue with the fact that they're fucking married. You skated right over that. That is okay. And the fact that he's getting the doll enhanced, that's okay. It's what type of doctor did they send her to? That's what we're worried about. And he not knowing the limitations of his doll lady.
His wife, I guess, Lydia, be correct.
His wife. Are you kidding me? Like, you skipped over the starting point.
Because those things don't matter to me. Like, okay, yeah, you want to marry a doll? They don't
matter?
You want to marry a doll? Go marry a doll. Does that affect me? No, it doesn't. Now, if you want to be one of those people that are like, a marriage is a sacred union, then what next? Are you going to tell me that it's between just a man and a woman? Like, that's how I feel when people try to tell me that, like...
Well, I can bet you Karen from Arkansas... feels like a marriage
should be
between a man and a woman.
The human man. They was a man and a woman, BTW. It was just not human.
Touche.
Yes, it technically was a man and a woman. So, I mean, if she's a doll, like, that doll is, we know that doll is a doll and it's not going about to do anything. And if he wants to sit there and be with a doll, like, that saves a poor woman from having to deal with whatever he's into. Yeah, you love that doll, go be with that doll. That's not hurting anybody, and that's probably saving him from whatever creepy fetishes he has to put off on a human person. So do what you want to do. That's totally on you, bro. I'm not a part of it.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Okay. All right, that's Allison's two cents on the man marrying his wife. A sex doll.
Yeah, which I'm going to have to look up what doctor is this, because that's a real question.
Okay, you look it up and let me know. Okay, the last part, every episode is I like to throw out a random question that I found, and I like to hear how you feel about it. So this question is, which celebrity would you think would have the weirdest browser history?
From what I've heard about recently, Armie Hammer.
That's exactly who I was gonna say. Like, that's the only right answer to this.
Yeah, like,
he needs a sex doll wife that he can munch on and do whatever he wants.
Yes.
Oh my god, that is so crazy.
Yeah.
I wanna eat your ribs, excuse me?
Huh? Excuse me, like, all about him. And it's creepy, and it's funny because, like, I always, like, he's attractive until you told me, like, you hear about it, that he could be into eating people, and then you're like, he looks like it. Like, immediately switches from super attractive to, yeah, he's too attractive. He does probably eat people. Like, I can see it.
I don't know a lot about this topic because I've just been casually, seeing what's about, and I don't like, okay, the first time you're with him and he pulls out some weird shit like that, you put your clothes on and you walk away. You're not nibbling on me. You're not cutting me. You're not eating any part of me. You're not strangling me. Mm-mm. You're not doing it. I mean, granted, some people like the strangling. That's fine. So if that was in your wheelhouse, then you do that. But you...
There was a whole bunch of other things that played into
you
that.
You know your boundary. He hit said boundary. You bounce.
Yeah.
Goodbye. You basic. And you leave.
Yeah.
You don't come back for another couple months. And then... cry about it. No, you lost my respect when you went back.
Unless he's super manipulative, which I see, because if he's kind of this type of predator who, if he wants to eat people, I could kind of see him, if he finds, when men find that woman that, I don't mean to say weak in a bad way, but that woman who's willing to hear something really wrong and strange, and she knows it doesn't feel right, but maybe he makes her feel comfortable in a certain way that she wants to continue to stay because she feels like she has no other option. They know how to pick those right women who are going to sit there. Like, I mean, how many men have you heard of who are like murderers, rapists, whatever, and they always had a girlfriend who was sometimes involved with it? And it's like, if you have some type of emotional or whatever their emotional relationship is, it could be very manipulative that she could have been feeling unsafe the whole time but didn't want to leave, or she cared more about something else he was giving her and kind of just turned a blind eye. So there's a lot of things that could be unpacked with that. But I did see that one of his exes finally said something on Twitter. And she just said, no period words, period. Like, no words. And that's all she posted. But that was the first time her speaking out on the whole thing.
Wow.
So.
I just know that if any man were to say, hey, Lydia, I want to nibble, not just like, cutesy nibble, like I want a bite of you, I'm gonna say, oh, okay, ghost, block, call the cops, call people, put a PSA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, like,
this guy
is a predator. But
yeah, I mean, and that's why it's, to me, like, not even hard to see him as a predator. Like, it wasn't shocking, really.
Well, first you thought he was hot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what, it's the quick change of, like, you're hot, but then, I could totally see it. You look like a predator as well.
And hot people get away with a lot more
shit,
too.
They do.
If this is, like, an ugly guy, we would have tried to put him in jail by now.
Yeah.
But this guy is, like, eating on people, and everyone's like, but he's
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I thought it would go away. You know, you hear so many crazy things. So when I first saw it pop up my feed, I was like, oh, well, if it's real, it'll stay around. If it isn't, he'll come out and be like, what the fuck, guys? And, you know, why would you, like, huh? And then it would be debunked and we'd go on with our lives. Because, I mean, there's crazy things that come out about people like that all the time. So, but then, like, more kept coming out, and then there was text, and then the ex, and then I was just like, oh, there's, if not, he's not just, like, free. Like, he's not just good to go. Like, this was totally misunderstanding. No. Like, there is some type of, like, confusion here.
We gotta look into this.
We gotta look into that. And all of that, I mean, cannibalism, when you have to look into cannibalism, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, it's not good.
Wow.
That's a little bit too far already.
I agree. Well, this was a great episode.
Yes,
I appreciate you coming out and giving me your 2 cents. I am sure you'll be back, you know, several times. So again, thank you all for listening, and
make sure
you follow the show on Instagram @sip_the_sauce. So again, thank you for listening. For myself and Allison, y'all have a great week.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram @sip_the_sauce. And make sure you check for new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day.